What would happen if food was to run out in the UK? Let's say a war was to break out and imports were blocked in. Well, 48% of our food comes from abroad and only 52% is grown in the UK. Within 2 to 3 weeks, probably not much longer, all foods will run out. Most of the bigger supermarkets only stock about 3 days worth of supply. What would you do in that situation? Well, such a situation, if it's not fixed or remedied straight away, will lead to mass starvation. This is not theory. This has happened thousands of times across the world in the past few hundred years. The greatest example is during British colonial times in India. The British Raj, which was firmly established by 1765, took over the administration of many things, including food distribution. By 1770, we experienced one of the biggest famines ever, with up to an estimated 10 million people losing their lives. Between 1850 and 1899, and only a 50-year period, there were 24 famines that took place in India. Given that India is renowned for so many different types of foods, vegetables, fruits, spices, why would famine occur? Of course, nature has something to do with it. Flooding, droughts, but a significant amount of the famines were directly due to mismanagement or misdirection of the foods. I'm not going to go into blame, shame the British Raj or anybody else, because I think there's plenty of videos doing that really well. What I will go into is what happens to your body when you go into starvation. If you've been watching my channel, you'll know I talk about intermittent fasting. So not having food for 24 hours isn't actually such a bad thing, as long as you have water. You can survive without food for 30, 40 days on end, but eventually you'll need to have food. However, you can't survive 3 days without water, because your body system will totally break down and you will experience organ failure. Let's say you are not eating food for 24 hours. In the first 24 hours of starvation, with the exception of water, of course, with the first 24 hours, your body will start using all the glycogen stores. This is where the glucose comes from your liver and other body parts. You need this to survive, your organs, your kidneys, your liver, your brain, and so on. Just under 24 hours time, your body starts using up the fat cells. So your fat in your blood, your triglycerides, your visceral fat. When that runs out, you start using your protein store. Now, the first stage of that isn't such a bad thing, because all your diseased, unhealthy proteins, including mitochondria, by the way, get consumed by your body, so it can be converted to energy and the good elements are retained. However, if you're forced into starvation, you start eating away at your organs. You have shrinkage in your brain, your heart, your kidneys, your testes, the ovaries. All of them start shrinking, because you're losing protein very, very fast. Of course, enzymes are made out of protein, so they start breaking down, and eventually you experience true starvation. Ultimately, there may be organ failure, and ultimately your body might fail completely. This has been happening across the world, and it is currently happening in the Middle East. Now, what are the consequences if you do survive? Well, we look at the facts. Because the great famines of India, and there's been famines in other parts of the world, but man-made, including Ireland, where millions lost their lives, have a traumatizing effect on that person who survived and generations to come. This is called intergenerational trauma. So if we use India as an example, if you take somebody from the Indian subcontinent and match them up against an ordinary European, white Caucasian person, you will find an unhealthy European may develop metabolic disorders such as diabetes by the time they're in their mid-40s, compared to someone from India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, the whole Indian subcontinent, where they may develop those conditions as early as in their 20s. Why is this happening? Because if your body has been traumatized to the point of starvation, it's going to start behaving differently. Every time you eat something, it wants to retain that food in case you get starved again. And so as a result, you don't need to consume as much food to survive. However, of course, if you're from the Indian subcontinent, food is central to all family culture. The whole of Indian culture is based around food, because we have choices, we have options. Fast forwarding to the here and now, about 3 million families, about 3 million people. Coming back to here and now, to today, approximately 3 million people were reliant on emergency food parcels here in the UK. And that was in 2023. That spiked up from the year before where there was approximately 2 million people. Things are not getting better. These are just the statistics for people in an emergency situation. Many millions are actually struggling to make ends meet. You might think, well, this is going to be very expensive feeding these people. If you were to take tax income that the government collect, how much would it cost to feed these 3 million people who are relying on an emergency supply of food? It'll take £50 to £100 a week to directly assist such people. So that works out to be £154 to just over £300 million a week. You might think that's a lot of money. Well, let's compare it. Of course, we've had this economic crisis, the cost of living crisis going on. Yet, the energy companies alone in the United Kingdom have never seen greater profits. Companies such as EDF, Centrica, BP, Shell, SSE, Scottish Power combined, they made £47 billion profit in 2023 alone. So it's not that we haven't got the money in the UK. Of course, these guys are protected by their mates in government. So we can't rely on politicians to do our bidding. Their interest is solely on global conglomerates, the people who pay them. The truth is the state of the UK, certainly the state of the US, but let's focus on the UK, is a shambles. Never did I ever imagine in my entire life that the UK would move from the space of being one of the most compassionate, caring, socially supportive governments and countries in the world to one of the most neglectful, corrupt countries in the world. And I'm apolitical, by the way. I don't take sides of one party or the other. They've all been in the same game and nothing has changed. In fact, things are only getting worse. We, as the electorate, need to take full responsibility. Not only do we vote these people in, we do not hold them to account. But this is not what this video is about. I want to share with you several things you can do or consider doing to take back your personal power. Number one, this might seem far-fetched for so many people. We've become so attached and addicted to consumerism. It baffles my mind. I'm an economist by education. It does not add up that we are poorer today than we were 30, 40 years ago. And yet we've got access to so many goods. We are spending money hand over fist on anything and everything. Yes, of course, there are plenty of people without money, but we have created the society we live in. So the first thing is stop being so addicted to consumerism, buying stuff, in other words, especially stuff you do not need. Secondly, this is a big one. This is not something that I'm saying theoretically. This is that me and many hundreds of thousands of other people do, is we're starting to become more self-sufficient. How do you do that? Grow your own foods. That's right. Even if you're living in an apartment with a balcony, you can grow some foods. Not only that, if you live in a city, there are plenty of allotments you can rent. Now, I live in the countryside, lucky for me, and there's two allotments I rent. The smaller of the allotment, and it's going to be approximately similar in most cities, is £15 a year. The bigger one, £24 a year. For a small plot of land, it costs you next to nothing if you were to average it out across the year. You might say, well, I don't have green fingers. I don't know how to grow stuff. You know what? You start small. Start with something that is easy to grow. For example, potatoes. One of the best crops and the most satiating crops you can grow. Grow potatoes. There's plenty of videos on how to grow potatoes, and it really is probably the easiest. You can grow herbs and spices if you've got a balcony. Go and explore all the videos here on YouTube. I haven't created those videos, but there's lots of other channels talking about different growing methods that you can start contributing towards your own home economy. You might say, well, I don't like potatoes. There's other vegetables, stuff like squashes. You might say, I don't like this type of squash, pumpkin, for example. Actually, there's such a wide array of squashes. And the good news is, once you've harvested them, they will last months and months if you look after them. So please explore growing your own food. The next thing you can do is to prepare your own food. The catering industry is massive. It really contributes to the economy on a grand scale like you cannot imagine. However, if you are somebody who's on low income or just about making your own ends meet, have you considered cooking for yourself? preparing your own food. I remember when I was at university, it was called the University of Central England. We had this big restaurant where friends of mine would go and buy food for every single lunchtime. One of my friends spent £4 or £5 every single day. Doesn't sound like much. That was 30 years ago. My head did a bit of maths. I thought, well, with £5, I can buy a kilo of mince, I can buy loads of pasta, and I can buy a few jars of pasta sauce and feed myself for 3 or 4 separate meals. It is not rocket science cooking for yourself. When you first start off, follow instructions that you can find on the internet. Practice and practice and practice. And initially, cooking something as simple as that, it is easy. But then when you start exploring, you will get things wrong. That's fine. Eventually, you will improve, but you will save huge amounts of money. That's the first thing. Second thing is, when you're cooking, it is one of the most therapeutic things you can imagine. So consider widening your horizon. Be open to different options and different styles of cuisine and practice. And the next thing is recycle stuff. There is so much wasted. You know, even though we're going through this horrible time in human history, there are more people who are losing their lives as a result of excess amount of food than there are people who are starving. Yes, there